Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to sell you the fight that nobody cares about. People want to see Mayweather Pacquiao, but they're
they're not giving you that fight. And the other thing is Floyd's commentary, Floyd comes out there and says, you know, oh, no mixed martial artist has ever done $250 million in revenue. You want to see big money checks? I'll show you big money checks. Because the fans keep doing it. Boxing keeps doing it to them. You show up to see Floyd Mayweather not fight. This guy will run around in circles, okay? And everybody wants to know why the UFC is becoming so popular. It's because the sick of boxers not fighting. You're going to pay whatever it is, $55, $60 to see Floyd. Basically, you get to see Dancing with the Stars again with Floyd Mayweather, except you have to pay for it this time, okay? You got to pay $60 to watch Floyd Mayweather and Dancing with the Stars again. On that same night, on that UFC card, you guys can all tune in and you can watch, not one fight. You guys can watch five great fights that night for $10 less than what Floyd wants you to pay to see him run around in circles and lay on the ropes and move around and not fight.
All right, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
Loud
and clear. And we got another solo edition of the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. That we can lock up a guest for next week. Trying to scramble to get one for tonight. So we'll have Tony DeMarco on next week. I'm sure he'll be full of Rocky stories and all that other stuff.
We can do the Tony Rocky story to me.
Uh-oh. And we got a lot to talk about. We had a big UFC card go down last night. Some interesting fights. Almost all of them went three rounds. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. I went to some local fights this weekend in Plymouth this past Friday. Did a vlog up on that and talk about that a little bit. And we obviously have the big mixed martial arts versus boxing debate back in focus now. Okay, the last two clips kind of demonstrated. Since we have this big shot at the right moment there. And I think he was a little drunk on himself that day.
But I think it's like a lot of times, especially guys that
lot of the shoot techniques, they are coming in more sparing. But you would know this from your tenure as a amateur wrestler. That what do you do when you shoot in? You come in, your shoulders are square, and you're trying to take a person down. You're not going to do that in boxing because you're taught more to have your front shoulder facing the guy because you don't want to give them a big target. You don't want to be square. So completely different discipline there. It's a completely different style of punching. That's why you get a lot of these guys don't generate as much power with their punches. Now you're going to have situations where a guy will land, they'll plant and they'll land a great shot. And with the smaller gloves, you will see more, one-punch knockouts. The fact of the matter is, boxes, the gloves are more padded. The guys are more versed at looking for just punches. And you look at this, Rich. You get a guy, he's defending against takedowns, he's defending against kicks, he's defending against punches, he's defending against chokes, arm bars, and all that. Well, he may not have the opportunity to, he might not be looking for that punch coming. And the punch that you don't see is the one that knocks you out.
Yeah, a lot of the old UFC highlights, when it first started, was punches, knockouts, punches. The Ultimate Fighter, they just had the preview show, the first show. And it was funny. He had a guy who was tall and looked like he was good on his feet, and he got demolished. Worse than I've ever seen anybody in the first fight on that show. I mean, this guy, he was almost 7 feet tall compared to this short guy. He was like the lightest heavyweight in the group. They just tuned him up. And, I mean, I don't know how many bad cuts you've seen in boxing. Talk about a cut. I mean, I don't see any point of why the ref would let it continue after this cut. This guy was literally like a faucet just coming out of his head. And when they had the post-fight, surgery going on, stitching him up, basically, the kid asked. He said something about, does that mean you can see bone? And the doctor goes, affirmative.
Yeah.
On his forehead. It was the worst cut I've ever seen.
A lot of times you see a boxing match. One of the most famous ever was a cut on the forehead. In fact, we talked to his trainer, was a Marvin Hagler. And if you ever asked Moody about that fight, he said, no, the cut wasn't bad, but it got attention because he's bleeding so bad. He had all those little veins and capillaries in the forehead. And there's not a whole lot of flesh between your skin and your skull. So that's why a lot of times you're going to see a guy that doesn't have a nick on the forehead. He's a pressure.
This one was worthy of the blood, though. I mean, this is a deep, deep gash. Like, I thought his brain was going to start.
As time progressed, for
one thing, I don't know whether it was just because it was the show or whatever, you know, this is his kid's chance and he's not quitting, but at some point you just have to take a kid like that out of the game. I mean, if you'd seen this, you'd just be like, you know, what's the point of watching this? It's like hot oil wrestling, but it's blood instead. It's like, this kid has obviously lost a lot of blood, he's losing the fight, he keeps taking damage, he's not advancing his position any. I mean, the ref should have stopped in the middle of the second round, but he let it go all three rounds. The kid was losing blood as soon as the thing got hit in every round. He's losing more and more blood. And it's like, you know, they're trying to sell the sport with this show. And that's your first episode of you bleeding all over the fucking ring, and then that's the last image you see is this giant fucking gash in his head. That's just poor planning.
He's not surrendering like the whole lot. He got all the syndrome and stuff like that. Rich, I got a picture for you. I got a scan and send it to you. I got a box of magazine that I had. It's called the Cornwall Strip. I keep on a box of magazine. Just years later, I was going to begin just to say, like, prospect back in the day, how they ever turned up and they made something themselves, they flop. This guy be writing articles, kicking some money to get their ass kicked, and the person ends up kicking the other person's ass. But I got this one, and it's an awesome. It's like a picture magazine with dramatic stock photos. Of course, the Martian or Knockout Punch is one of them. But they had one of its clothes. It's a section called Blood Dance. There was a fight between Muhammad Ali and Henry Cooper in England. And Cooper had Ali down. And obviously, he got the two-step talk, hook on his eye, and all you could see was just a cascade of blood pouring down the guy's face and one little eye open. And I mean, that was one of the things that just took my head out of your bed. But as the times of your progress, they've been more quick to stop a fight on a cut, except one time. I remember this fight, I was watching it, I think it was on ESPN. About 7 or 8 years ago. No, more than that, maybe around 9 or 10 years ago. So Arturo Gatti, who we all know was a notorious cheater. He was playing a kid by the name of Bill Hutchinson on ESPN. And it was in Montreal, Canada, which was for Gatti for a while. So he had a lot of fans there. You know, it was his first fight in Montreal in how many years. So he played this kid, Bill Hutchinson. And in the first round, they clash heads. And Gatti gets a couple. That's when I sent that tribute article about Gatti a few months ago. One of the pictures I sent you was from that fight. Because literally, it was getting so bad that the eye was hanging down. And the referee incorrectly pulled it up. So the fight gets stopped. Such as it wins by TKO. So there was no way they're stopping this fight. And every round, the guy's just like, oh my God, what is coming at a guy's eye? This is terrible. They're just like, marveling about how much this guy's, spouting blood all over the place. He went the whole 10 rounds and won the decision. I'm sitting there watching, going, holy shit. This is going to be honest.
Yeah. One of those things. But it was actually some really good boxing in those UFC fights. And another fight, I think it was Nick Corey versus Tim Brador, the one that led it off. And Nick Corey's like 37 years old, fighting this guy Brador, who's pretty old for a fight himself, was like 32 or 33. And man, I've never seen a fighter in the interview after the win look worse. He had the worst black eye I think I've ever seen in an MMA fight, except for one I saw live when these two kids just demolished each other. It was like the comeback fight of the freaking century. This kid got tuned up in the first rounds, and then he came back in the second and third round of the fight, and they both went to the hospital. But this fight, this UFC fight, Nick Corey, would just kept getting lucky with the, not really lucky, but when I was just connecting at the right moment and timed it right, was looking for it. The right hook, he has that little Rocky-like right hook. He just kept coming in and just decking Credor with this right hook, but Credor was beating on him up to that point before he landed that first one. And then he just kept catching him with it, and then he just got on the ground, and that was it. And then you have Roger Huerta versus Gray Maynard. Maynard stayed in the feast. It was a very technical fight. A lot of boxing, a lot of toe-to-toe. Huerta was trying to get his timing down the whole time, trying to stay outside and work some kind of game. But Gray Maynard was just happy just punching him. That was a good fight. In the main event, kind of stole the show because it was Nick Diaz, his younger brother. He fought a hell of a fight, considering he was getting his ass beat for most of it. And then he hooked up some kind of crazy angle guillotine. And, it was only like on the ground 2 seconds or so. But Melvin Guillard, he fought. Guillard, yes. They would say he was fighting since he was 16 in unorganized shows. And just all he wanted was on the feet. He just wanted to box. And he spent like 2 seconds on the ground and could get up. And he was really chewing up. Just killing him. And then all of a sudden I went to the ground and boom, he locks up this choke. Made it look easy. Judge is tapping out. But that was the only fight that didn't go to decision the whole night. But they're all good fights. All very competitive. And then, of course, you get to some UFC games. It's not as stacked as some of the other UFC tournaments we've seen before. But, it's going to be basically a big test for them. That's what I'm hearing, I'm seeing it all these... The links I get every day from mixed martial arts and boxing and all that stuff, it's kind of hinting that this is the weekend to test it all, the theory that MMA is the fastest growing sport. The big test, UFC versus Mayweather.
$100 He's saying, you're getting one point for $10. exciting fight. Also, okay, he's 21-1 with 13 knockouts. He's leading 25-2 with 21 knockouts. Always an action-packed fighter. And there we go, and you have a rematch. Chris John and Rocky Juarez. Their first fight was very competitive. And now it's a chance to see them fight again. Chris John going to be able to outbox, of course, Juarez, the slugger, going to be able to outslug him. So, Dana White right there, who I think is just as confident and just as arrogant as a Bob Arum, is also making me so anxious.
Hey, that's the edge, okay? That's what it takes to be a champion. Yeah, I think it's just a Naz. Had some before the show. No, actually, I mixed it with some vinegar. Yeah, so I get some tested vinegar in me. Just before the show, you know, it helps me get some rabble rousing going on. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I think Marquez is just gonna surprise a lot of people. He's gonna put up a fight, and you know, it's gonna be a big test for Floyd selling, number one, you know, because he's a big salesman, so to speak. There's always more stuff coming out about his money troubles. He gets sued on a loan or a luxury sedan. And, you know, it comes right after the 24/7 episode where he's, you know, bragging about my shit's paid for. You know, really Floyd. Really paid for. But, you're in trouble for a loan. It's paid for. Right. You got a good relationship with the IRS, right? Yeah, that's because they're at your house every day. Looking for money. We'll see what kind of sales he comes through with. Checking out the UFC card. I mean, I should know. I don't really have that much. We have, Matt Lindsay looked sillier than he's ever looked in his life. Taco was just hilarious. I mean, he was out on his feet, and he was just like doing some silly shit. And, I forget exactly how it went down. But it was so disturbing. How he kept like trying to fight, didn't know what the hell was going on. He was knocked the fuck out. Anyway, Vitor is this is gonna be his debut again, his debut in the UFC. And also Frank Trigg, who is, I don't know, I'm not sure how old he is, but he's been more announcer than fighter in recent years. And it's his first fight back in the UFC. He's gonna be on the card. He's 19-6 at 170 pounds. He's gonna be fighting Josh Koscheck. 14-4, he's been around for a while, he's like a big time wrestler, takes people down all day. And Frank Trigg's known as Twinkle Toes, so we'll see if he stays on his Twinkle Toes. Right? But, there's also a couple other decent fights. Tyson Griffin, 15-2 versus Hermes Franca, 20-7. Hermes is another guy who's caught up in the steroids before. Mirko Krokop, another old dude. And just trying to live out his contract here, I think. But he's fighting Junior Dos Santos. 8-1 at heavyweight. Krokop is 220. And Dos Santos is 238. Krokop is 25-6-2. And we have another guy that used to be in the strike force side of things, unfortunately. Paul Daly, 21-8-2. Versus Martin Kemp, 8-2.
Sure. only fight him in a four rounder. And the guy was like, heckling him. So it just looks like they snapped the photo. They're both giving the thumbs up, and he's just in the other direction. He's just looking at the heckling. And this guy just looked at him and he's pissed off.
Like, funny fight I ever saw was a mixed martial arts fight in the middle of the night. It was Butterbean versus this little, like, people Asian dude. And this little Asian guy runs across the ring, and he double kicks him with 2 feet, jumps in the air, kicks him with 2 feet in the chest. And Butterbean just shakes it off. And it's so funny. The guy got elevation off the ground. And then the little guy ended up arm barring Butterbean. He got him with a crush.
Puerto Rico, or 1913 and 2 years,
Friday. Heavyweight Travis Kaufman, 18-0 with 15 knockouts, taking on Tony Durano, 15-1-1.
Thank you. fighter, kind of DAO, a very tough fighter. So looking at his record, I mean, he's a big guy. He had the loss of Cicero from Felix Stern about a year ago. So, I thought, I heard the Vento in it, but surprised me that it's a less than one.
Would you believe those are the lightest guys on the card? Seven fights, eight fights, yeah. Guys, really. Light heavyweight and the cruiserweight fight, two brothers, like Norbert and Joseph Nagy, or Nagy, I don't know how you pronounce that, both fighting undefeated guys. Light heavyweight Norbert is 3-1, and he's fighting a guy 10-0.
Yeah.
Five knockouts. They might need to join forces.
Thank
you. But the funny one on there, that's kind of a mismatch too. Well, not really, since the guy's undefeated, but I get this guy a nickname. Marcel Zeller, 22-4, 21 knockouts. He's fighting Edmund the Baby Gerber. 7-0. Probably not. 7-0 with 4 knockouts. And I think we have to go to Rome Sunday for the next big fight. My mouse just decides to not work.
State's coming up on Saturday and big fight in Las Vegas. Okay, but actually, we do, Rick. Listen to this. I really wanted to go to this one too, but I got a party to attend on Saturday. But in Valley, in Atlantic City, New Jersey, in fact, if anybody's listening, and if tickets are still available, you might want to go to this one. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Russell Phelps is the fast secret out of Philadelphia. Kathy Dubin is promoting it, and you know Kathy Dubin will be in the men's boxing. This is a night of thunder, tribute to Arturo Gatti. And that should be a really interesting card. Now, the main event, is get out of Philadelphia, but it's Keon Kennedy. Keon, I've got to see quite a few times in Philadelphia. He's a pretty good prospect. He's known with 5 knockouts, but he's kicking Lante Addy. They're playing in the 10 round. They're Lante Addy, 4-4 knockout. The chief undercard is playing the 6 rounder, which is Anthony Flores. Anthony, who I've also seen play about 4 or 5 times, he's tall, he's got really good arms and really good speed. Have facial features that he looks like Paulie Gallinazzi's weight. And he's got a 5 knockout. He's playing the guy by the name of Mr. Venezuela. 6-1 knockout. Also, he's by the name of Johnny Mercado. 1-0. He's got 32 Joel Olszewski. Johnny Mercado is a national boxing champion from Boston University. Josh was starting well after I graduated, and I went up there a couple of years ago. I got a few things, and I was Chuck Kondoski was playing those two again in Philadelphia. I was still up there in my boxing year, so Josh really didn't know me. He impressed me because, man, what do you know about boxing? What do I know about boxing? I mean, what do you know about it? I said, I'm all American for leaving, and I was club president, club vice president. He was like, man, I told him my name. He looked at me like, oh my God, like I've heard so much about you. I'm like, yeah, you're from Dr. Cox. I'm sure he has a lot of great stories about me. I'm going to have people do it.
Yeah, actually, I was just telling Tony DeMarco earlier about the fact that we were supposed to box in college. He's kind of losing faith in boxing. He says he's seeing it growing. But I told him the college boxing. I said, you guys have to talk about who would have won. He's like, oh, yeah, all the time. A prime Rich versus a prime Tony. That's the game, folks.
No.
against a guy named Farouk Saleem. He's only 38-0 with 32 knockouts. I can tell you. So you'll fight him? I'm going to call up the promoter, Cedric Kushner, right now. I'm going to set it up.
Okay.
conference center in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We have Salvation, the Fight Club meet. That's also tomorrow night in Mid-America Center, Council Bluffs in Iowa. We have a tournament at MMA 4. And the Athletic Association of the Bank of Brazil Gymnasium. That's wonderful. Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil. We have Copa Fight Center 9 tomorrow night. Saturday, we have, of course, UFC 103. That's at the American Airlines Center in Dallas. And also, the Truxy in London. On Saturday, we have Ultimate Challenge UK Mayhem. And San Francisco, at the Kezar Pavilion, we have Female Fury 2. World Combat Sports Challenge, but whatever that is, must be all female fights I'm taking. Also in Sao Paulo, Brazil, at the Pisambu Gymnasium, we have Jungle Fight 14. It's interesting. The Tulare County Fair, Tulare, California, we have God's Gladiators, Gladiator Challenge on Saturday. Shoot, first time in the cage, going on in Evansville, Coliseum, Saturday. Concord, New Hampshire, Capital Center, Unified, GFL 4B. And we have a fight going on in WAB, University of WAB Fieldhouse, Bilal, Game 2, PXC. Zurich, Switzerland, is a professional Shinto 6, Shinto Switzerland, and also in Sao Paulo, at the Novo Espago Event Center, the Bike Championship 3, RFC, and the Pico River Sports Arena, the Pico Rivera Sports Arena, Pico Rivera, California. And Expo and Fight, Respect to the Cage. That's on Sunday. Shooting Disco Ken in Shinjuku Face Tokyo is on Sunday. And we even have fights in the Czech Republic, Prague. Hell Cage 4, HC4. And another fight in Espirito Santo, Brazil. X Combat Ultra MMA on Sunday. Also, we have SWAT in Face Volume 3, Shinjuku Face Tokyo on Monday night. ZST 21 on Monday in Tokyo again. On Tuesday, we have Revolutionary Exchanges 2 Korakuen Hall in Tokyo. And finally, on Wednesday, we have the 10th Battle, Sengoku, in Saitama Super Arena, Saitama, Japan. It's a shitload of MMA. And the big topic, I guess, is not really worth debating much on the UFC. But, I think Marquez has got a real good shot of making this fight very interesting this weekend against Floyd.
Absolutely. And, what I wrote about the fight, there's a lot of determining factors about this. But what you have two guys that are really good at making big play adjustments. I mean, think about the Marquez. He hit the first fight with Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao put him on his ass three times in the first round. Well, if he took that pattern up, that would have been, 36 times in the fight. But Marquez turned it around, and he started using Pacquiao's aggression against him. See, if we can rematch, because, Pacquiao is a guy like, he's a great hook and a straight left. He bombs his left hand. And, Marquez forced him on even terms. I felt Pacquiao won the fight by, I think, 2 points. But the fact of the matter is, he could have said that Marquez won the majority of the rounds and won that fight. No, I couldn't say no, you're wrong. Pacquiao
Jake Pacquiao that were close. Poor kid, guy, he's Roger Federer, Ron Diaz again. Diaz owned in the first three or four rounds of that fight. He was coming in, he was backing Marquez up, he was using the size, using the strength. Marquez made adjustments, he started hitting the body, and then he broke Diaz down. Mayweather, on the other hand, he's the guy looking to fight early when he's fighting Ricky Hatton. He was very uncomfortable because Hatton's, you know, had first rushes. So he started using more lateral movement and top shot up, and then he started up and finding his opening. I thought he was losing the fight with Dana Holmia. Or he was, I had to fight a draw though after 8 rounds. And Mayweather opened up and said, okay, here's how I'm going to win this fight. And he made an adjustment to win. So I think we're going to see a lot of fight rates and a lot of ebbs and flows. Marquez is a slower starter, and I think Mayweather is going to start off using his box and using his speed. He's going to force Marquez, who's also a good counterpuncher, into the aggressive role. Because if Marquez doesn't take the aggressive role, Mayweather is just going to use his speed and stay on the outside, and it's going to be, a very muscle time. Not a whole lot of, back and forth action. So Marquez is going to be the one that's going to have to come out there and say, okay, I'm going to have to be the aggressor and throw a lot of punches here. If he's going to really hit the body, slower. So what's going to happen is going to be the fact that he's really going to be able to land in a punch to keep him off, or is, Marquez going to get down there and, make Flake feel that rustiness to be in the fight in, almost 2 years.
Well, I know that Marquez has a hell of a chin, and he's obviously changing things up a little bit to prepare for Floyd. And I think I mentioned this last time, before the last fight, that he was ready to die in the ring, and he said it again, just the last episode of 24/7. And, that's Mexican independent day. There's a lot of factors in this that call for a miracle. And if anybody can do it, it's Marquez. And it's against the Floyd, who's coming back for more than just the pride of it. Obviously, he's in debt. We're coming to find out. There's a lot of distractions in this game. All the ingredients are coming together right for a big, big upset, I think. I just kind of wanted to take the devil's advocate position. I'm going to go out on the limb and say he's going to do it. I'm not 100% confident that that's a smart decision, but I just got this gut feeling that he's worth a $20 miracle payment. He's got the money. He's got all the right conditions to make it happen. And I think there's just a lot of people out there who want nothing more than just see Mayweather get shut up. Well, they'll keep talking no matter what, They'll find something to bitch about after the fight if he loses, of course.
Watch that. Go back and watch the Floyd fight. People sometimes use lateral movement.
about a year ago, slap on their punches and literally try to run away. Talking about like Floyd will use angles to send his punches, and he's not a dynamic, bone-breaking puncher like a Julio Cesar Chavez or a Kenny Trinidad. He's not going to be like that. He's that one's going to speed, slash, and cut you off. He's not really going to be hit. He's not going back to this point with Dana Williams. He can run at that point. He's back to this point with Kenny. He can run at that point. So, Dana White, shut the fuck up.
Well, don't pull any punches there, Tony.
I call Bob Arum a pop of Jack Games, too. I'm a white fan, but I felt sure.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not Dana White's cheerleader or anything, of course, as you know. I'm more of a mortal enemy. But I think Bob Arum actually did more damage than most importantly, he at least admitted that there is some common ground, and they were trying to learn from each other. He kind of danced around it, but he also kind of said that we were keeping us on our toes, making us put on a better fight, which was interesting, because that's the first time I've heard a boxing fight.
Knockout punchers, but I can do it. I used to love watching Cornell Whitaker fight.
Kevin Whitaker barely knocked anybody out. But I love watching him fight. I mean, he was so good. In fact, he's training Paul Spadafore now. He's coming out of retirement. He has pain problems. Spadafore was never much of a puncher. But that gets rumors going on. Spadafore was chanted out 9 or 10 years ago. And he beat the living shit out of Floyd Mayweather in a gym session. Now, true or not, I don't know. I didn't see that shit. But that was the word going around that he had a gym session. And Spadafore lit him up. I mean, set the truth out of the ring pretty bloody. Once again, rumor. It's true, I don't know. But Spadafore was for a while a slick, boxing player. That I still love to watch. There are some players that are just guard and brawler that you know you can't get into. And, you know, they have, I mean, they have the guts. Like, they just come in and they swing you from the top of the contest. Sometimes you can't get into these guys that are just, you know, guys, to me. And we gotta appreciate the subtle things. I mean, that's the thing. You can't, like, any fighter out there, they do little subtle things, but if you can really get into that, I mean, it makes a big difference.
Especially with some of these hometown guys. I mean, they literally bring their own chariots.
belt. Just take one look at the guy fighting, you know, Adonis across the ring. You know, like, this guy, why is he fighting? So I think there's a little too much of that in boxing. You know, these guys that are out of shape shouldn't even be fighting for any league. You can throw them up against these guys that are, you know, world beaters, potentially, you know, on their way to being world beaters someday. And there's this one guy,
are realize, like, I would not have covered my own camera, but I might not be sitting at ringside. I might be in the balcony. I'm taking photos from the balcony. My buddy Larry Tornami, who was, listen to this, Larry, who we interviewed last year, is a lot of these cards, the ring announcer, rushing for a website, and taking photos. A lot of times, if he's not working as a ring announcer, he is,
wow. That would have been gruesome.
think that was real life. And they have all kinds of things. They had the Festus, they call it, that the gladiators used to have, like the leather with the spikes on it. They had him hitting the side of the cow with that. It's a pretty good show. I forget what it was called, but I know they ended up saying that the Apache would have won. They had some sick knife fighting skills. But anyway, now that we're off topic, I would like to talk about some other sports. And yours.
Before I forget, you know, yours, I'm going to send you an email because I need Jimmy Birchfield's phone number. When we were talking on a few weeks ago, he told me to get a hold of him regarding Twitter and one of those Mitch Paz books.
Okay.
So, I emailed him, but who knows if he got the email or if he just saw the random Philly Box one, didn't know who it was. So I want to give him a call so I can possibly get that book. Like I said, let me get time for my dinner.
Well, I'm just watching the Red Sox blow it here in the ninth. I wanted to mention some other sports news. So you guys linking that Pedro guy down there in Philly, huh?
You know what?
Never had been, never been. They drafted him. they drafted this guy in the second round out of Houston University. Houston University has never put up any good professional NFL quarterbacks ever. They've had like two quarterbacks taken in the first round. They both bombed. It was Andre Ware and David Klinger, which really suck. But with the Eagles game, you know, I'm watching a friend of mine, his daddy went to Carolina to see the game, and a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I don't think when this game is going to be a tough game. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I think it is going to be tough. Carolina scores on the opening drive. They drive right down. Eagles get a stupid-ass penalty to save the drive and keep it alive. And Carolina scores, and I guess it's going to suck. Next thing you know, the Eagles just opened up a can of piss. And their defense, because as you know, their defensive coordinator died about 3 days before training camp started. They got this new young kid who I actually played football against in college. So he's the defensive coordinator now. The Eagles sent him blitz to this quarterback to figure he beat the shit out of Jake Go-Home DeLone so bad that he got yanked. He threw like four picks and a fumble. They yanked him. They put the next quarterback in. They knocked him out for the season. They put the third kid and they beat the shit out of him too.
Oh, well. You better be on your football game this week because we're actually going against each other. That's what's all stars. You're 0-1, and I beat your mom. You were, but then the Patriots game came up.
You can't have said I was kicking ass. I was doing all great.
You were, and then you just you had Wes Welker going against Tom Brady.
Well, yeah.
You could have had another running back going if you were watching yourself, but Wes Welker actually was probable, too. We didn't even know if he was going to play.
Well, I love this wiki you see that keeps me pretty busy. Imagine 55 people this year in it.
That's why Brockton Blockbuster has handled your mom.
Yeah.
92-50. That was rough. Philadelphia Eagles actually killed me in my other league. I lost 61-110. Their big score was the Philly defense, 35 points.
This guy is tough, all this shit. That team in second to last place, and two came in last. We only beat out the last one by 1 point. I'm in reverse history, like, not a head to head league. So, only came in second to last place by 1 point. Here's the thing is, 55 of them, 269 points came from the vote on the street.
Thomas Jones saved my ass. 22 points. The Jets look good.
Yeah.
Sanchez is okay.
So I run this weekly league. You know, I've been doing it for 9 years. I used to run it through work. And the payout's like $200 a week. Pretty nice hit. So I mostly returning vets. I had a few rookies going up. One of them being my boxing coach, St. Laura. And she's talking all this shit. So, normally, people wait till the last minute to turn their picks in because they want to make sure that... I said, there's no need to see if a team's third-string center, equipment boy, and, you know, team manager are all, you know, status for the game. Just turn your picks in all the time. She turned her picks in 2 weeks early. She went 15-1. $240. I'm like, you got to be shitting. So when I said he goes the entire league, I was like, yeah, we got a rookie, you know, one of this week. I said, went 15-1, turned the picks in 2 weeks ago. I said, but she can't be that bright because she first of all comes to me for boxing training and once saw a picture of Ben Roethlisberger in a Flyers jersey and not only thought that I knew him, but I go to Flyers games and sit in the press box with him. We're a little bit of a luxury boxer today. Oh, get this. There's another reason I'm pissed off. I was supposed to be twice the Blue Horizon last week. I'm a Flyers fan. I like the Flyers. Flyers got a new goalie in town. This guy, Ray Emery, who was in Ottawa a couple years ago. They said he's a nutcase, but he's a big boxing fan. So he's got his new Flyers goalie for Bernard Hopkins airbrushed on one side, Smoke and Joe Frazier airbrushed on the other side, and Rocky Balboa airbrushed on the back.
Why can't we get a guy like Joe Frazier on the show?
Joe was so hard to get hold of. I talked to some Marvin like 13 years ago.
Yeah.
I met Joe once or twice, but Joe was always
interesting, wouldn't it?
Joe always gets a little bit belligerent.
Well, and why not? Let's get belligerent right back. My nickname is Rabble Rouser.
Yeah. First of all, I love Joe, and Joe, I met him 15 years ago in Philadelphia. I couldn't understand him then. When he showed up at Flyers practice the other day, you know, thinking it was terrible. He's like, yeah, and when the puck stick, and he said, they're like, okay. But, Jack was hanging out with two Flyers barely last week from Little Rise, and another one down.
Oh, well, what can you do?
Yeah, good. On the next show again.
Anyway, that's pretty much all I got. I don't know if we've exhausted the other sports there. What else to talk about?
Well, we just talk about basketball. Philly's got the closer in. He hasn't been close to well this year. Of course, he's on my fantasy team. And he's got the Wolfenberg fucking better. The three-run lead. Come on.
They just showed the Angels flow and saves number.
I get a Philly game last week playing the Mets, who I hate more than anybody. And they're actually 20-some games ahead of the Mets this year. It's a joke. It's really a laugher. It's 20-some games ahead, but the magic number's down the line. You want to win these games and look your playoff spots so you can rest up for the postseason. You're playing the Mets. And you got, like, a 4-run lead going into the last two innings, and if you blow it, I was so pissed off. I'm walking out of there, and so I'm doing one more of my little birthday hat, and we're all having a good time, and we're laughing and joking. You just went out of the parking lot, I'm going to drink a beer, I'm like, I don't want a beer. Close. So I'm going to smile, I'm like, I will not smile. So all my three going into the game, I'm wearing my little birthday hat, my little Spider-Man birthday hat, and I'm having a good time, I'm drinking beer, and I'm taking pictures of them, waving and making faces. Get into it, they were taking pictures of me, every picture I use a finger. One girl actually had to grab my face and actually pull my face into a smile.
Well, on that note.
At the Philly team, where the guy gave the ball on the board, she threw it back?
No.
Or it doesn't. I had a friend of mine from Chicago emailing, said, you gotta see this video. See this video, I saw what had happened. guy hit a foul ball directly behind home plate, up in like the third or fourth level. This guy reaches over, makes this unbelievable catch. Bare-handed. Unbelievable catch. His little daughter, maybe like 2 years old, like, puts her hand down, he hands her the ball, she throws it back. I guess she started crying or whatever, so she's like, give her a hug, give me the cup. First, she's like, you can see her face, like, oh, I can't believe this. But then she gave her a hug and everything, and he actually got so much publicity. Like I said, a woman from Chicago sent me the video today, and she's been on, like all broadcasts and publications everywhere. Like, I think he's going on a side show.
Is he, like, taxing his 15 minutes of fame a little too much?
You know what? The Stitches better than that Steve Martin character that blew it for the Cubs back in the three.
No, that's different. That's like the cursed guy.
That's infamy.
I don't want that. Hey, well, you know, he got lucky, you know, because Bill Buckner had to deal with it more than anybody else.
Yeah, Bill Buckner was a player. Steve Martin was a fan that just interfered.
That's true.
The Cubs have not won a World Series in 100 years. They are 4 outs away from going to the World Series. 3-1 or 3-2 up over the Marlins. And the guy hits one and he comes out there and was going to catch that ball and the inning would have been over. And most likely they would have won the game and went to the World Series. But
I remember a game with the Yankees one time, Red Sox Yankees.
You're pretty clever, right?
And the kid ran onto the field when the third out was being made, he would have been over a Red Sox win, right? And so the Yankees were up, and it was a pop fly, and you know, the third baseman goes over and catches it. Well, but then the umpire called time because the fan ran on the field. So they went convened, and then they let the game continue, gave the guy another at bat. Yeah, let him get back up to bat, and what does he do? He gets a hit, ties the game. Goes into extra innings. Yankees win the game. Man, I was so pissed. One fan screwed it up for everybody.
How about that one, like, 1996 or whatever the hell it was? And they're playing the Orioles. And the Orioles, you know, had that left side. And the batter's about to catch it. And that little fat little kid reached over and caught it. They called it a home run. I'm like, that's not a home run because that's fan interference.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bullshit. Like I said, I don't have a problem with Yanks, but I thought that was bull. Here's another one. Oh, listen to this. I forget who the Phillies were playing like 2 years ago. They might have been playing the Cardinals. But Ryan Howard comes up to bat. And the game was close, and the Phillies were either winning or losing. And he hits one that is most likely going to be a home run. This little fat kid, who's a Cardinals fan, reaches over, and he was in like the second level. So I don't know why they didn't call it a home run anyway, because it was that damn far. But he reaches over and he interferes with the ball before it lands in the seats. I'm like, no, that's a ground rule double. I'm like, ground rule double? What the hell are you talking about? This little fat kid who just interfered with the ball and called the Phillies a home run is in the seat, like, crying. I'm like, can you hear what you're not in Philadelphia? You really have something to cry about.
Well, it's nothing much better than the ball in the cup. It went down the foul line and ended up in a plastic cup. I think that was one of
those.
Red Sox lost. But anyway, that's all I got. Time to pack it in. The Ring Girl contest will be live tonight, the voting page. We do have some very hot contestants that have come through in a very short amount of time. We had two that came in today. Right. And vote for your favorite. Yes, naked photos. Naked photos. But it's just, it's always baffling to me how these incredible looking girls just stumble across this page and just send me these awesome pictures. They all, almost, probably about 20 to 30% of them say something about working for us, too. Like, I'm just starting to think, like, maybe I should tie all these emails together and, you know, map these themes out and put them to work. Start the Fight These Unlimited Ring Girl wing of our business. I don't know. It sounds like a lot of coordination to me, but if I had a secretary, I could do it. I'd get one of these girls to be the secretary. So they can deal with the drama. I mean, a lot of guys, actually, there's a couple of girls in this contest from England. So, it's worldwide now.
We just exhausted our resources. We thought boxing, MMA, football, baseball, fantasy box, or fantasy football, fantasy baseball. It's also hockey. We didn't talk about any short note. Before we get off the air, we have to talk professional wrestling. Professional wrestling.
Okay.
Well, no, we did this show, you're right. We did talk Hulk Hogan. We did talk Butterbean. We did talk Triple H.
Oh,
you're barking. We're shooting Quimby Brothers in the ring on Saturday night.
And he will be handing him a steel chair in the third round.
That's right.
tag team match, though, against Marquez, Triple H.
Hold on.